Revelation tonight. We're still there.
Revelation.
Yes. Remember when I was younger, growing up in the church, it was we have guys, you know, people that come through with teachers and stuff, and they'd have the big charts, you know, with all the end time stuff and all this and that and all the stuff. And we're not going to go over end times tonight, but what we are going to talk about are the seven churches again. And in the seven churches, Revelations, this is such a, we're not going to obviously get into end times, but we're going to just, we talked about what, four churches last week. We're going to kind of revisit those and then the other three churches. And the Lord speaks through John, or speaks to John, and John records this message. Revelation is broken down into the letters, and then later, the letters to the seven churches. And then from there, later on, it begins to talk about end times. But we're going to focus on tonight the seven churches, and there's a lot of similarity between the seven churches and now. Now, we could always say flesh is flesh, right? I mean, you know, there was sin back then, there's sin now, there's going to continue to be the sin as long as, you know, we're in this sinful world and the enemy is tempting and attacking people, right? So, obviously, you know, there was disobedience at the beginning, there's disobedience in the middle, and there's disobedience at the end. But those of us who are born again, we're, the best is yet to come, right?
Yes.
Right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, it says, the book of Revelation, well, my the book of Revelation, again, was given to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. You know, the really cool thing about John was they tried to broil him, and saute him, and they just couldn't get the job done, right? So they're like, we don't know what to do with this guy, so we're going to toss him on this island, right? Because he's like the Energizer Bunny. He just takes a licking and keeps on ticking, right? Can you imagine that? And Jesus, one of the prophecies when Jesus, before Jesus was crucified, and again, he rose from the dead, one thing is he's like, you know, prophesied that he's going to live a long life, right? Now, if Jesus says it, you can pretty much go to the bank. So we see John lived quite a while, and they just couldn't get rid of him, and which kind of freaked out some of the, you know, the government folks. And you do any much studying on this, but so he's here on this island, and the Lord reveals some things to him in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, and it says, "Write in a book everything you see and send to the seven churches in the cities." And he talks about Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Say each one of those fast 10 times, right? Blah, 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 blah. I believe when we get on the other side into heaven, we're going to have like be able to have classes on like how to talk or how to say these names, right? You know, I was like reading some of those in some of those names in those languages, like Joktan. You know, I was like, who names a kid Joktan, right? But again, it means something in Hebrew, right? And that's our interpretation, but and it is very interesting reading through the names and the interpretations of the Hebrew names of those people, because it outlines, like I've talked about before, the plan of God. Also, just kind of micro in that time period they were talking about, but also outlines the long-term plan of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Now, this is, again, he starts out with Ephesus, and all of these he's going to talk about. He talks about, first of all, things he likes. He's like, hey, you're doing some of these things, but then there's some things I'm displeased with you about. And it's interesting because we're seeing the same things today. And verse 1 says, "Writes as the angel," excuse me, "of the church in Ephesus, this is the message for the one who holds the seven stars in the right hand and the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands." And then he goes on and he says, verse 2, "I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say that they are apostles but are not. And again, you've discovered they are liars, and you have patiently suffered for me without quitting." Verse 4, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first," right? Well, they lost their first love. And we see there in the scripture, it talks about that the first love is Christ, right? Why is he the first love? Because he loved us first. See, he loved us first. We didn't have the ability to love without him. Because our nature doesn't change unless until we get to 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Our nature changes. All things become new, right? We're old creature. Now we're become a new creature. So we don't have the capacity to love. So he is our first love because he loved us first. And then he gave us the capacity for love, and then therefore we love him. And he's our first love. Well, they gave that up. Just like, you're not loving like you used to. You're not as passionate about these things. And he says, look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place and among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. And you know, the church of Ephesus is no more. It's really interesting because Rick Renner was at the ruins of Ephesus where the church was at. Have you seen that before? It's really kind of cool. He goes through and talks about they're no more. But you know, even if you play sports or do anything or music or anything else, what are some of the things you always go back to? The basics, right? The basics. I remember I was just coaching softball, girls softball, and it's like, okay, talked about this 10,000 times, right? When you have a grounder, your glove needs to be on the ground. It needs to be touching the ground, right? And I know that ball may be hit to you fast and it feels scary. I mean, the girls now, they got face masks, right? They got all these, like, I mean, when I played baseball, it was like stuff bouncing off my head. And, you know, I was an Eldon one time and it bounced off my head and I had to wait for it to come down before I grab it. But we had a helmet, you know, that was about it. Now it's like the girls have like face masks and they got a helmet, face guard, and all this other stuff. But what was the thing? Go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. I would sit there and listen to Brother Hagin at Rhema. And I mean, it was like, you know, spiritology, 2 Thessalonians 5:23, every time, you know. And I would have a guy next to me, he'd fall asleep with Brother Hagin teaching. And I remember being in Blood Covenant. It was very fascinating talking about, that's another topic. If you do have, there's a great book you need to, it's called The Scarlet Thread. And it outlines all of it. He really goes into a great detail of our new covenant, right? And he talks about the scarlet thread, and it's that thread of the covenant all the way throughout the Word of God. Very good book. I would highly have read it a few times. But it's a very good book, but it's going back to the basics. See, it's about the basics, right? It's not about having new revelation. Now, when you study things, again, God can reveal new things to you, but one of the books that I love to read over and over again is, well, obviously all the books, but Genesis is one of those books where I just read every time and I'm thinking, wow. Because I'm going back to the basics, right? And the Bible warns us about itching ears, you know? I remember, you know, like I like watching Billy Graham and some other people, and then at the end they give altar calls, and, you know, people just kind of check out. And I'm thinking, that's so good. To listen, even just the salvation message, you know. I'm born again, and I love listening to that because why? It takes me back to the basics, right? It's like it's really great to understand and, you know, understand the depths of the Word and learn new things. I love that. But the simplicity of salvation, it makes you appreciate what we have, right? And when we go back to the basics, we go back to, I mean, upstairs, Mr. Gary's probably talking about Jesus loves me. And you have those little kids where everything's Jesus, the answer is Jesus or God, right? You know, well, who slayed the giant, Goliath? Jesus! You know, that's all they know is Jesus or God. That's the pat answer for everything. And it's like, well, that's got to be, you know, well, it's like, well, I got to get it right or some brownie points with Jesus or God, right? But it's going back to the basics, and they lost the basics. They lost their first love. And then it goes on, it says, verse 7, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Here we go. To everyone who is victorious, I will give give fruit from the tree of life. Here we go. In the paradise of God. Do you know paradise still exists today? We see other scriptures in there. I have a few other scriptures that talks about. Jesse Duplantis talks about when his trip to heaven, that he went through paradise to get to heaven. And we also call it Abraham's bosom is another one, right? And we see there's other names for the Bible talks about. Luke 23:43 says, and Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in what? Paradise on the thief on the cross, right? And that's because he hadn't gone and defeated the devil. What did he knew? He knew that thief, and we're kind of get off topic here, but it was kind of interesting, but that thief was going to die before Jesus was resurrected 3 days later. And so it's paradise, which is the temporary positioning or Abraham's bosom of where saints went before Christ paid the price for us. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 12:4 says here, Apostle Paul says, that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. Right? He had this spiritual experience, and he saw these things and saw these creatures and these beings that it couldn't even explain all these things. Luke 16:22-23, right? And so we see the rich man. I'll let you turn there. Now, it's not just, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a detail too. In these two chapters of Revelation, the second and the third chapter, where John is, this angel is dictating all of this information, this revelation of John about the seven churches. There's other things that are in here that he talks about paradise and about our names written down in the book of life and other things about salvation that if you read over it, you're just focused on those things. But he gives us instructions and keys and little elements at the end that are very, a lot of people, their doctrine is a little bit goofy when they start saying some things. And the very interesting is he talks about longevity and things you don't do and what's going to happen. So we see here in Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into what? Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Here we go. And then in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So what we're seeing is he could see the temporary holding place. There was a gulf between them. There was some kind of a divide between them. And he was there in Abraham's bosom. And we also call it often paradise. Jesus called it paradise. Here we see Abraham's bosom, right? Matthew 24:12. So what is the thing that John is writing to the church at Ephesus? He's like, you lost your first love. You lost your first love. Matthew 24:12 says, and 13 says, sin will be rampant everywhere. Here we go. And the love of many will grow cold, but the one who were in what? Endures till the end will be saved. There's a same message here that we see in Hebrews and Matthew that Jesus is repeating in the book of Revelation, and it all goes together. Jesus talked about it while he was here on earth. He gave the revelation to the Apostle Paul, and he also, again, what? Mouth of two or three witnesses, let his word be established, right? So Jesus, and that we see the word throughout the Bible. I remember Brother Hagin talking about the Lord appeared to him, was saying things, Brother Hagin said he was showing him something, and he was talking about having authority over the devil. And he said something about like, well, Jesus says, I could not do anything. And he's like, Lord, did you say could not? You mean you just would not, right? And he says, no, I could not. And so he was kind of challenging the Lord a couple times. Lord kind of got a little irritated. He says, no, I said I could not. Got a little irritated with him. And he says, well, I need a couple scriptures for you on that. And he says, well, I'll do better. I'll give you three. See, the word always confirms itself multiple times throughout the Bible, right? That's why we can't take one scripture and then twist it around and use it for anything else too. It's like it's we've got to have out of the mouth of multiple witnesses. So we go on here. Revelation chapter 2. And that's where you see Matthew chapter 24. Later on, Jesus talks about in the days of Noah. And it also is, and we see that in Revelation, right? We see it in the book of Daniel. We see it in other places where a lot of these things are repeated. But Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, and it says, this letter to the angel of the church of Smyrna, the message. And then it says, who is the first and the last, who was dead but now is alive. Verse 9, I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blaspheme of those opposing you, and they say that they are Jews, but they are not, because they belong to the synagogues of Satan. Here we go. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Oh boy, this wouldn't preach very good today, would it? Right? We don't like the suffering thing. But there is an element to this that we're just going to go through stuff, right? You know what? If Jesus went through stuff, how are we, you know, how would we expect we're not going to expect any kind of persecution, right? I mean, we just saw a few weeks ago, right? Charlie Kirk, he was basically persecuted, was a martyr for what he believed. And it says, don't be afraid about suffering. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will suffer for 10 days. But if you, here we go, you remain faithful, even facing death, I will what? Give you the crown of life. You ever notice a lot of these, when he's talking to these churches, he's talking about the things he's happy with, things he's disgusted with, but he's like, if you're faithful, then these things will happen to you. And we can look at each one of the churches that he tells, and we see these things. So in the first church, he's talking about we're going to be able, they'll have, be able to have the tree of the fruit in paradise. So there'll be substance there. And then here, John is telling them that they're going to have a crown of life if they're faithful. And in verse 11, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed, what, by the second death. The second death is hell, right? And then eventually into the lake of fire. Hebrews 11:32-35. You can kind of keep your finger there because we're going to come back to Revelation. We're going to kind of bounce around, but I'll read this. And this is all kind of recap from last week, but we're digging a little deeper. How much more do I need to say, verse 32? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people, where we go, overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. Can they do that to politicians too? Would that work? news organizations. Can we kind of steer that for other purposes? Quench the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from dead. But others were tortured and refused to turn from God in order, or turn, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some people refused deliverance. Became martyrs, right? Because they were more focused on what? Being obedient until the end. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. We'll go to the church of Pergamum. Are you bored tonight?
No.
You getting bored? It's going to get really interesting here too, farther down we get. I love this because it's going to some people, you know, I just say this, some people they like to throw around all these like religious thoughts and everything, and they don't have any scripture to back it up, right? And I'm not opposed to people who don't agree with me, that's fine. But the thing is, you gotta have some scripture. disagree. You got to have something to stand on. Revelation 2:12, talking about Pergamum. And it says, this is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. Well, we know who that is, Jesus. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. I talked about this last week. Satan's throne has changed throughout the centuries, right? It's not in the same spot. It moves. You know? We see that thing. I mean, here recently in this, you know, it was in Berlin with Germany during World War II. That thing moved to Russia, you know, during the Cold War. That thing has moved all over, right? It's been in China during Mao Zedong's time, you know. We see this thing is all over the place where mass destruction's at. It doesn't stand. In the biblical time, it was in, you know, Tower of Babel, right? Yeah. And that thing was, you know, Nimrod. That's just not a negative name we call people, but you always think of some of these like you know, Dumbo or, you know, Goofball or something. It's like Nimrod. You're just like a Nimrod. That's always kind of a negative connotation. But that thing was on the Tower of Babel, was there in Babel. That thing has moved different times because the enemy uses different people groups at different times to influence them for evil. And so we see here that Satan's throne was loyal. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam. Remember Balaam? Moses had to deal with that clown who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and committing sexual sin. Now this thing keeps popping up with other churches, we're going to find out too. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Here we go. Here's a cure. Repent of your sins, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To anyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a... Here we go. This is interesting now. Because each one of these churches, he reveals a little bit of himself of what he's going to give us on the other side. Each one of these churches is different. So it's very fascinating. And he's like, I will give each one of you a white stone, and a stone will be engraved, a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Do you realize when we're on the other side, we're going to have a new name? Now, I believe we're all going to be called that, but we're going to have a new name on the other side. Because your mom and dad named you something, and guess what? Papa God has got a name for you. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. You know, he allowed your parents to give you a name, but on the other side, he wants to give you the name that he wants you to have. And that, I think that to me, it's like it's a relationship. It's that just that special thing about the Father that he's like, okay, but I want something special that I'm going to give you that nobody else is going to give you, which is to me very fascinating when you see Scripture. And then he goes on here. So again, and then I'll skip down to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Move on here. So again, they're in sin. They need to repent and come back. So you're going to see this pattern over and over again. Repent, come back. Repent, 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 repent. You notice how a lot of these sins and a lot of these things are rampant right now? You never notice that too? That, you know, that we've got all this perversion in the church and everything's okay and doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle you live, we'll just kind of, you know. I mean, you see just crazy stuff online, right? These people in these churches, it's like, how do you even? And then they don't even call God. They're like the... It's some weird name, and I'm thinking, not even God, but they don't even say the name of Jesus in some of these really out there churches, and you know. So anyway, that's them. They're going to have to repent, and then it goes on, and it says, and again, it all goes back to the basics, right? We just talked about go back to the foundation, but everybody wants to dive off on this, and they have some new revelation, and no. Thyatira, talking about here, verse 18, this is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I love it because throughout these two chapters, he is revealing things about the Lord, two-edged sword. He's got a two-edged sword, which is his tongue. He's got eyes of fire, right? All of these little tidbits of who God is, and again, what it's going to look like on the other side, and things he's going to give us, and if we continue to run our race and go until the end, all of these things that on the other side when we're with him that will happen. But we're still seeing the same things today that they did back then. Verse 19, I know all the things. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement, all these things. Here we go. But I have a complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and, again, eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Again, immorality today. It's that same thing. That's a lot of it's running rampant in the churches now. Therefore, I will throw her in a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly. And I will strike dead her children, and then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and the intentions of each person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. Interesting here too. And then it goes on in verse 24. But I also have a message to the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed the false teachers, deep truths as they call them, depths of Satan actually. I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly, here we go, to what you have until I come. What's he say? Hold on. Hold on to the faith. Go back to the basics. The basics of what? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's redeemed us. His blood was shed. He came in the flesh. Those elementary truths that, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about there, it was called the milk of the word, I believe he talks about. You know, the laying on of hands, the preaching of the gospel, these things that are elementary and elementary truths are the foundations. I will ask nothing, and to all of those who are victorious, here we go, who obey me to the very end. It's all about endurance, going back to the basics, holding on to your faith, repenting, walking with him, having love towards one another, and having a passionate love towards him. Mm-hmm. Now, new, we're going to Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, so we're going to start in 3 verse 1. And again, this is the message to those who have sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I'm reading the New Living Translation, by the way. So those of you who are, you know, say hallelujah. And I still just like, you know, Linus and the Peanuts, you know, that his blanket. That's King James is my little blanket. So, you know, I've got it right here. I just in case I got it right here. So it's my little security blanket. But I'm trying real hard, all right? I'm trying to use other translations, so, you know, it's just hard when you in Bible college and everything's, you know, King James, and then you come out. And, anyway, I'm working on it. So, but I know all these things in verse 1, all these things that you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find, here we go, that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Verse 3, go back to what you heard, here we go, and believe it first, hold to firmly. See, the Apostle Paul talks about itching ears. Yeah. And if we get itching ears, meaning we're just wanting something new, we want some new thing, we want this, we want that, you know, some big, you know, and back in the day in the 90s when later I had gotten married and everything, it was all just about, you know, oh, if you take money and you just throw it in some bucket and or you know, you give this person, and then if you give me this, then you'll get all this money back, and all of these new revelations. The Bible doesn't guarantee any of that, right? It says, give and shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and given to your bosom, right? But what happens is, and we've created these extremes, and we've done things rather than come back to the whole, you know what? It's about salvation, it's about Jesus, and from our relationship, from there things begin to develop. So we see here, go back to what you heard and believed it first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. And if you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as an unexpected as a thief. That's where we're getting off on things like, you know, people, well, and they're taking their cues and they're bringing in, you know, social ideas or the world system or the world's thinking and bringing it into the church setting. And it doesn't belong there, right? Well, but this is the social standard now. This is the social standard. I'm sorry, but you know what? The social standard will not be around, but the Word of God will be. It's eternal. Yeah. It's going to outlast everything that, you know, all the colleges talk about. You know, I've spent too many years listening to all of the garbage, and I know exactly what they teach. I know exactly what they think. I know, you know, I've had to listen to all of this junk for several years, and I know exactly what they think. These people are confused. They're depressed. They have all kinds of. It is not. When you are separated from God, there is no joy. There is no peace. Nothing. It does not exist. And it's this fake pseudo intellectual garbage that it's like, you know, just like the Apostle Paul talks about that that knowledge puffs up. There's no depth there. It just makes you full of pride, right? I know a lot of people that have knowledge, but they have no wisdom. I remember one time I was in a undergraduate, and it was a criminology class, and this professor, and it just like, you know, when you listen to these things and these people that you're listening to them, it's just hard to hear sometimes, you know, you're just like, that just hurts. So I'm sitting there, and you know, he was talking about criminology and everything, and he's like, he was talking about, you know, I feel really bad, you know, I spanked my child, and I wish I wouldn't have, and this and that. And I said, hey, Dr. Pratt, how'd your kid turn out? Well, he turned out great, but I feel bad that I had to do that, you know? He's like, well, it's 80% chance and like 10 or 15% parenting. So I thought, and so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why am I taking psychology if it's 80 to 85% chance and only 10 or 15% psychological training, right? Are we confused here? Am I missing something? Right? It's kind of like me saying, well, the Word only works 10% of the time. So, you know, everything else is just kind of by chance. Who would come to church, right? How would we believe in God or anything else when it's just like, well, it might happen, or, you know, God may be true only 10% of the time. Yeah. See, the Word of God is going to outlast us and this world and the people. And so we got a lot of people out there who have, you know, educated. I don't mean against education, but the point is this: you can have a lot of head knowledge, but no wisdom. And we see in the end time that the Bible talks about, in the end times, knowledge will increase. That just means you're going to have information, but there's no wisdom there, right? I mean, you can have your head full of stuff, right? I remember I was in one of my college classes and stuff, and I was the only one with actual real life like experience, you know. And I've got, you know, PhD people who had one of my professors had no experience at all on doing anything, and it's just theory. It just sounds good, right? I don't. There's knowledge, but there's no application to it. The Bible is knowledge, and there is application, right? there is something, because I love how Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says that God, not only when the disciples went forth, it says there was miracles, and the Lord was confirming the word with signs and wonders following. It means that God backs his word up. This isn't just some stuff we spew out of our mouth. It's just not theory, but God shows up. He backs it up. So when we speak the word, we believe it. He's there to enforce it and to engage it. Just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, right? It says, the Holy Spirit hovered above the face of the waters. What was the Holy Spirit doing? Waiting for the word, to engage the word, right? Because the word of God is just not something spoken, but when the word of God is released, the Holy Spirit engages and something happens. We have a supernatural element to our faith. Everything else is dead. Amen. Praise God. That was good preaching, wasn't it? Okay. Amen. Then it goes on to verse 4. I'm kidding. Therefore, yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white. Here we go. For they are worthy. I love it. See, there's another glimpse of Jesus talking about if you continue, if you're faithful, also you're going to be in white, right? You're going to have white clothes. You're going to, again, it's not because of our ability, but it's because we obeyed, we repented, we continued with him, we followed until the end, and because of his blood and his sacrifice, we're redeemed. We're a new creature. Then he goes on here and he says, walk with me in white. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. So now he's talking about the clothes we're going to wear. I will never erase. Here we go. This is very interesting right here. And this is going to throw a bunch of people, not here, but a bunch of people outside of this that are going to, they don't want to talk about the scripture. And it says, I will never erase their names from the book of life. Now, who is John taught? John's writing a letter to the church who are what? Believers. Right? Everything in the Bible is designed or focused around the believer, that person who is believing. Now there's people who aren't saved that can read the Bible and get something out of it, and God can speak to them, and we definitely want that. But he's talking to a church of people who are saved, right? They're saved. And he goes on, he says, I will never, here we go, erase their, he's talking about people who are, again, in the context of, they have not soiled their clothes with evil. That means they haven't been involved in evil. The vulgarness, the eating of food to sacrifice to idols, the sexual immorality, the degrade. These people have decided they're going to follow Jesus. They're going to go back to the roots. They're going to continue in those basic teachings that the church had at that time. They're going to continue down this path, be faithful to Jesus, and endure until the end. When they endure until the end, that group of people will have clothed white. Their names will not be erased from the book of life. So that tells me that if we're born again, our names can be in the book of life, but it could be erased. Right? Because Jesus says, if you continue, I will not erase your name from the book of life. Guess what? Those people who have their names in the book of life will live with Jesus forever. If your name is not in that book, you will not. Well, once saved, always saved. We're sitting here right now. Jesus says, I'm not going to blot your name out if you're going to continue to walk down this path with me and be faithful to the end. And then he goes on, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that what? They are mine. So there's two things going on here. If we endure until the end, he's talking to those in Sardis. He says, I will not blot your name out of the book of life if you continue to be faithful and walk accordingly, right? And if you endure until the end. And not only will I not blot your name out of the book of life, I'm going to announce it before my Father and his angels that are mine. Right? So that tells me you can lose your salvation. That's really popular, I know. But there's a lot of ministers out there that are going to do the once saved, always thing, and they're going to wake up, and it is going to have a rude awakening, right? I don't want the rude awakening. We don't want that. No. Because we're going with Scripture here, and there's other Scriptures we can look at as well. So again, that means that our names could be erased from the book of life due to, again, rebellion, not walking with God. And I like it too. He doesn't walk away, because it says he'd never leave us nor forsake us, but we can walk away from him, right? Adam and Eve, what'd they do? They walked away from God. I mean, God had no intention. He did not want us to go, take the 6,000-year detour, walking, you know, experiencing death and heartache and murder and all these terrible things in this world and war, and on and on and on because of sin. That is not God's plan. He did not want it to be like that. We turn from him. Everybody wants to throw it back on God. Well, you know, he's sending people to hell and this and that. No, you choose to disobey. You make a choice, right? Romans chapter 1 says we can walk outside and see God. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can walk outside in nature and we can see in Romans chapter 1 that he is apparent just in nature. We can see it, right? Mm-hmm. Philadelphia! Philadelphia! Look out, you Eagles and Phillies fans. We're coming at you here. So we're seeing John here. He's addressing this. And he's talking about, you know, this is, we'll close here in a moment. We're not going to get through everything tonight, and that's okay. I didn't think so. He writes this letter to the church of Philadelphia there in verse 7 of chapter 3. And he says, this message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, here we go, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. Now we haven't got to the seals yet. We're not going there tonight, obviously, but there's seals that are going to be broken. We're not going down that road. We're just talking about the churches now. But he says, I know all the things that you do. Here we go. I have opened a door for you that no one can close. God is doing things. He is opening things up for people. He can open things up for churches. He can open things up for your life that nobody can open and nobody can close. Only he can do it. And he says, but you have little strength, yet you have obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and to bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my commandment to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. So now he's not talking about things, right? He's talking about the truths, the understanding. Hold on to those things. Hold on to those things, and I am coming soon. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God. Here we go. And the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them, here we go, my new name. There are some absolute nuggets in this. We read through things and we just kind of Cadillac through it. And I love just sitting back and just kind of, you know, reading through the Bible and everything. But those are just things that's like, whoa, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty deep. And so the Lord is giving things throughout these two chapters of a picture of what these churches look like. The errors that we need to learn from. And then also, too, those who are going to stay with God, the benefits the things that are going to be given to us moving forward. And then it says here, and anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit of what the churches are saying. And I'll go ahead and do the last one, Laodicea, and we'll close up here for now. And then it says, verse 14, this is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Verse 15, I know all things you do, that you are neither what? Hot nor cold, right? Let's stop here for a minute. You know, people always, you know, and God's got big shoulders, right? We know that. But we are made in His image. He does have emotions. He does have feelings. Obviously, we've gotten those attributes from Him. But, you know, it's kind of like getting, you know, it's kind of like if I'd ask Adrian to marry me and I'd say, she wasn't like, yes. She's like, I guess. I guess I got nothing else going on, you know. I don't feel very confident about that, right? I don't have confidence in that. I think about the Lord, you know, He doesn't want, and I don't go down to the coffee shop here and say, you know what, I think I'll have a lukewarm coffee, please. Got to get lukewarm coffee. What is it? You either get hot or cold, right? Yeah, my girls like the cold stuff. They like all the sugary stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not a real sugary kind of drink person. You know, I don't like a lot of sweet stuff. But either like it hot or cold. There's no in between. And if you got somebody that's kind of lukewarm around you, you know, they kind of take you or leave you. You know, how does that make you feel? Like, oh, that's really great, right? Like some of the girls sometimes, my kids or something, say something like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this, whatever? Like, I don't know. Right? They do the whole kind of, you know. No, nobody's ever had that happen to them before, those kids here. Just me. So, yeah. But, you know, they kind of go along and they're, and you know, so, you know, what do you think? You know, want this, you know, what was, we were buying something like some softball stuff lately or doing something. And she's like, you know, one of them was like, Well, you don't want me to buy it or what? You know, I mean, is it just a no? I mean, let's have some kind of pulse here, kid. You know, let's wake up or let's have some kind of reaction here. You know, you buy it and they're like, oh yeah, and they look at it. No, thank you. No, you know. But that's what the lukewarm is. It's just this non-committal thing. It's kind of like, you know, do you love me or not? You know, you don't want this. Well, I've known some people in the past where, you know, they like you one day, they don't like you the next day, and this and that. And we need some consistency here. You know, either get on or get off the bus. And that's what the Lord is really saying here. And He says, I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And you say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need anything. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How many people now, this is them, right? How many people are, you know, they feel like they have everything they need, and then, you know, they don't have anything spiritual. People think, well, I've got a bank account and everything else too, and I, you know, deal with finance stuff and everything. And how many people, they spend more time on planning their vacation than they do any spiritual matters? Actually, there's a lot of people who are spend more time on planning their vacation than they do, you know, their retirement sometimes. But what are we going to have? What are we going to have wealth on? The wealth is comes from Jesus, not just having money and having things. And those things are byproducts, can be of that. And then as we close here, it says, I am rich, I have everything I want, but you're wretched, you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me. The gold, now, you know, gold, but this is a different kind of gold. Gold that has been purified by fire, and then not be ashamed by your nakedness. And an ointment for your eyes so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline anyone I love and everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Not if, but he's going to be there. He's going to come in. He's going to help. He's going to change things. And he says, and I will share a meal together as friends. That in itself, share a meal as friends, is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Go back to 2 Corinthians, talking about communion. There is a wealth of revelation. There's a wealth of just amazing. Because what happens in the mealtime when you're exchanging things? There's healing. There's a breaking of bread. There's all of these elements involved in the mealtime that it's a source of communion. It's a source of fellowship. And what is he saying? He's like, I just don't want to sit here, but let's come together and as friends. You know, and even sometimes you can be related to people. But, you know, Andrew and I were with just some friends here just last night. We were with some friends of ours and went to high school with him and his wife was, we had gone to church together for several years and just known him forever. But there's just something about, you know, because you can have, sometimes, you know, I just say sometimes you can't choose your relatives, right? I mean, you know, it's like your parents are your parents and, you know, your siblings are your siblings and there's just some things and you love your family and everything else too. And I got family in here, so I better watch my mouth, but I'm kidding. So they're great. They're great. But it just sometimes too where it's like, because, you know, we do have families. Sometimes there's expectations. You know what I'm saying? Just meaning your relationship and how you do things. And sometimes it's like you can have that party where, you know, you can have a friendship. And you can be friends with your relatives too. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you have that friendship where it can go beyond just, you know, we got to live in the same house together. Or we got to do this, or what's that joke too? Where you know somebody says, if you got the weird relative and you can't think of the weird relative, you're probably the weird relative, you know. So yeah, I can't think of one in my family. Oh, maybe it's me. So, but it's that friendship, and it's like this. I mean, you can have friendship, deep friendship with relatives. You can have those things, but whether you're related or not. It's that friendship that what it means is you are revealing things about yourself. You are communing. You are sharing things back and forth, not because you have to, but because you want to. And you can definitely do that with family, but when your family and your friends, or you're just friends, whether you're related or not, when you're on that friendship level, it's a give and take, and it's something that you want to. That's why Jesus said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends to the disciples in the Gospels. Because it's not just you're not doing things for me, but I'm revealing my deep inner self to you that servants just don't get. And as we close here, and those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit of the churches. So it's just a very good, out of these seven churches, we can see elements of things that we need to watch, that they made mistakes from, but also too, at the end, if we are going to be faithful to him, those benefits and those things that God, the Lord, wants to give us. And he wants to reveal those things to us. And he wants on the other side that we'll be able to have. And so, Father, tonight we just thank you so much for your goodness and for your love and for your friendship, that we can be friends with you, Lord. We can commune with you. But, Lord, as we go back to the basics of those basic truths, the milk of the word, Lord God, and we stay and we stick with those basics and we continue and we're faithful to the word and faithful to you, Lord, to the end. But Father, we're going to receive blessings, Lord, and joy and peace with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.